May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Earlier today, I was sort of figuring in my head how many times I've preached on Transfiguration. The first time I preached was before I ever went to seminary, and I had no idea what to say about the Transfiguration. And quite frankly, I'm still not really clear what's going on here. So in those circumstances, we turn to the language of story and metaphor. Once upon a time, there was a young woman who felt her life was good, but lacking in real substantive meaning. This young woman was a good Episcopalian, and she came to understand that seeking holiness and righteousness just might be the key to finding the true meaning of life that she was looking for. She wanted to find the holiest person in her part of the world so she could learn about holiness and righteousness from that person. So she Googled, holiest person in the land, and she was led to a retired country doctor who invited her into his house for tea. "What can I help you with?" asked the old fellow as they settled back into the creaky wicker chairs on his front porch. The doctor's favorite hound dog lay sleeping at their feet. "Well," said the young woman, "I always thought that it was important to retreat into the wilderness to seek God, to remove myself from the bustle and business of life, to devote myself to prayer and spiritual development. But you stay right in the middle of all that, and yet you're the holiest person around." The wise old doctor smiled as he set down his teacup. He said, "It's true that retreating in quiet places can help you focus on getting to know God. But most of us really can't spend our lives like that. It's hard to keep that level of prayer going over the long haul. That isn't how you stay in the quest." The seeker's brow puckered as she pondered this, and she asked, "Well then, how can I remain true to the quest for a lifetime? How have you done it?" "Let me tell you a story," said the old doctor. "One day I was sitting quietly in the sun with my dog, Max. Suddenly, a large rabbit ran across the yard right in front of us. Well, you know, my dog jumped up and, barking loudly, took off after that rabbit. He chased the rabbit over the hills with a passion, barking and baying fit to beat the band. Sure enough, other dogs took up the chase, attracted by his barking. What a sight that was. The dogs chased through thickets and thorns up the creek and back again. Gradually, however, one by one, the other dogs dropped out of the chase. In the end, only old Max here stuck it out. Can you guess why Max persevered when the others got discouraged? If you can figure that out, you'll know what it takes to find the holiness and righteousness you seek." Any guesses? Any guesses as to why Max the dog kept the chase when all the other dogs fell away? Well, it's pretty simple, really. Max kept going because he had seen the rabbit. This story illustrates the prime qualification for the spiritual journey. You must see the rabbit. If we don't encounter Jesus in a real way, we will lack the energy and motivation to keep up the pursuit of holiness and righteousness that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount that we've been hearing for, lo, these many weeks. Peter and James and John went up to the mountaintop with Jesus, and there they encountered something they had never seen before. They encountered something that no one except Moses and Elijah had ever seen before. They encountered face to face the glory of God. And their response is an overwhelming sense of the divine majesty and might of God's presence. And without that experience, what happened on that other mountain when Jesus hung on the cross would have thrown them off course for good. If I had to summarize what's happening in the transfiguration of Jesus, that change in his form and appearance, it would be this. Jesus went up to the mountaintop to commune with the glory of God in preparation for Calvary and the cross. And while he was up there, his own divine glory broke forth. He was changed from glory to glory. This overall experience, this literal sensation of God seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting the glorious presence of God, all of that is summed up in one word: numinous. That's your word for today, numinous. This is the fearful and fascinating mystery of God. And we are given this potent account of the great numinous experience of the inner circle of the disciples precisely now, precisely on this last Sunday after the Epiphany, because we're about to enter a season of chasing after the rabbit. Listen again to our collect for today. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and to be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Rabbit season, or Lent, as we call it in the church, is a time to seek after holiness and righteousness for the sake of following Jesus, a time to pick up our cross and be changed. On Wednesday, if you come, and you really should come to Ash Wednesday service, you will be invited to embark upon a quest for a holy Lent. It is a noble quest, one for which none of us is ready, but all of us need it. All of us are called to it. The quest for holiness and righteousness is not undertaken by giving up sweets for a few weeks. The quest for holiness and righteousness is not just a collection of self-help techniques. Lent is not about self-improvement. Lent is about getting closer to God, walking with Jesus as he turns his face toward Jerusalem. If we are called to some form of spiritual discipline in pursuit of this quest, that discipline is a means of deepening our identity, our experience of the living God, risen and glorified. I encourage you to find a discipline that brings you the joy of being closer to God and to undertake it with the intention of developing that discipline for life, not just for Lent. Let it be a source of life-giving power and inspiration for all seasons in your life. Let me give you a few examples of how you might do that. Taking up one or more of the daily offices is an excellent discipline for deepening our relationship with God. That's morning and evening prayer, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. You can go old school and plow through it in the Book of Common Prayer, which is what Will and I do each morning. Or you can pray morning or evening prayer with Mission St. Clair online, and we've made it really easy for you to do that. there's a link to the daily office on the homepage of our website. Mission St. Clair does all the preparation. All you have to do is log on, show up, and pray. Carlo will tell you in just a little while about a Lenten devotional booklet you can pick up on your way out this morning. I encourage you to take one and use it as part of your discipline. Here's one of my favorites. You can create your own call to prayer throughout the day by setting alarms on your phone. I've done that. When I got back from the Holy Land about 5 years ago, almost to the day, I found that I was missing that constant call to prayer from the mosques everywhere. I mean, I didn't go to the mosque to pray. I would just stop where I was and pray. So I set alarms on my phone to pray 5 times a day. After a while, you just kind of instinctively find yourself in a quiet place at those times. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate prayer. The Jesus Prayer works just fine. Do you all know the Jesus Prayer? If you don't, it's real easy. We can learn it together right now. Repeat after me. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's do it together. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, this is a prayer that you can use as a breath prayer. You breathe in, Jesus Christ, Son of God, and breathe out, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you can do that anywhere, anytime, just like that. Say it often enough, and it will work its way into your heart and soul, into your very bones. And that's the whole point. Whatever way you find to pray, ancient, new, ancient with a new twist, the point is for the prayer practice to work its way deeply into your being, your heart, your soul, so that you get those glimpses of the glory of God. We need those glimpses. The quest is long and the obstacles are innumerable. I don't even have to tell you about them because you've got them going on in your head right now. We need those glimpses of the glory of God, and the way that we get them is through prayer. We need to see the rabbit from time to time to keep us running, to keep us in the chase. With regular faithful practice, we get those glimpses of God's glory in our day-to-day lives. They don't last long, but they do the job. They motivate and inspire us to keep working at it, to become familiar with the glory that will be our ultimate home. Find your prayer practice for Lent and watch what happens. The chase is on.